September 26, 1991, and we're going to chat a little about the history of Westboro and some of the things that Belle remembers. And here we are on such a rainy day. Word.
Well, I sort of thought I would take this as a walk down by the cemetery and pick up the places along the way.
Oh, that's very good.
And
yes.
Where the savings bank is now, there stood an ordinary 1.5-story New England house.
Uh-huh.
And this, as I remember it, then was a millinery store.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And the savings bank was across the street in the corner of that building opposite. And you walked into the savings bank on the corner there by the town hall.
Oh, right.
And
right.
Then the savings bank people bought the old house and tore it down and erected the present building.
Uh-huh.
And
when was that, Bill?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, was it?
That.
Before the 30s?
Way back in the 20s.
Yeah.
Early 20s, yeah.
Uh-huh. We have pictures of it.
I remember going across the street with Father and walking into the bank there. And I wasn't tall enough to look over the counter, but I was sort of awed by this.
I imagine.
Yeah. And then next to it was the First National Bank, which is in the old building there.
Mm-hmm.
And next to the First National Bank was Chamberlain's newsroom.
Oh, yes.
And they had all the newspapers and magazines and tobacco and candy.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And that went way back to the whole, went the full length of the building to the back. And Mrs. Nora C. Chamberlain lived on West Main, right across the Unitarian Church in St. Luke's.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she was the one there that really owned the store. Her son ran it, and grandsons clerked in there. And they lost that. I won't go into any details how, but they lost it.
Oh.
And so the newsroom moved across the street then.
Uh-huh.
And the bank took over much of their area. And next to the bank was a barber shop. A Mr. O.D. Severia ran a small barber shop. He was a little stocky, short man, and very deaf.
Oh.
But he did a pretty
good. Now, where was this now?
First there was the National Bank.
Uh-huh.
And then there was Chamberlain's Newsroom.
Yes.
And then sandwiched in between there. And the next was O.D. Severia's barber shop.
Oh.
And Severia's barber shop later became Maljanian's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. All
yeah.
right. Sure.
And then next to that was the stairway upstairs to the lodge.
Oh, rooms. Yes.
And then, of course, they had the third floor up there with their dining room and all.
It was lovely, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And my brothers and I waited on table up there quite a number of times when Mrs. Box was catering dinners for the Masons.
Oh.
And then next to that was Buxton's Drugstore.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that was a real, shall we call it a counter, soda fountain.
Oh.
And you could get your ice cream and sodas and things as well as the drugs. And then the next door beyond that was Mr. Woodman's Hardware.
Uh-huh.
And that building was taken down later and other things put in there. But Woodman's Hardware store went all the way back and also had a Milk Street entrance, went around the corner.
Went around the corner.
Kind of. And Mrs. Woodman lived much longer than Mr. Woodman. She lived down on Charles Street,
mm-hmm.
on the corner of Charles and Harrison Avenue. Lived there many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The store, after he died, I think the store was closed. And it was about that time that something else moved in. I'll have to think about that.
It wasn't Winchenback. Winchenbacks?
I don't remember.
Ruby Stones?
I don't remember
no.
that, no. And then on the corner was Thompson's Spa. Fred Thompson ran a spa. It wasn't a drugstore. It was sort of a general store, but they didn't sell any real grocery supplies, odds and ends.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get a soda in there. You could get ice cream. You could get candy. And that was kind of interesting because it also had a doorway on Milk Street, and you could go around through. Fred Thompson was a big man. He was the father of Mrs. Hulbert that lives up on Whitney Street.
Oh, that Mrs. Hulbert.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Al's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you cross over Milk Street, and there was another store on the corner, and I don't remember what that was. Somebody else can fill in on these things.
All right.
But next to that was E.A. Lord.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And Charlie Duckworth went to work at E.A. Lord's when Charlie was in high school. And he worked there well until he closed the store.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a couple of years ago. Yeah. We miss him.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know how Charlie played football and worked in the store and kept up his school.
Did he play football?
Yeah, yeah. Charlie was a very good quarterback.
I bet he could run.
Yeah, he could run.
Yes.
He was quick on his feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Charlie, well, Charlie was must be close to 80 now.
Yes. Oh. All right. We can go on from there.
I want to go back just a moment.
All right.
To the barbershop and the Blankenship store that was in
there. Oh,
where,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Where the Goldens is now, yes.
And Harry Blankenship was a very amiable man. He was sort of short and stocky and quite bald and talked a great deal and knew everybody. And he was a pleasure to go in and talk with or buy something from. And I think he had about a 1917 Cadillac sedan.
Oh my.
Which looked more like a carriage than it did an automobile, actually. And
Elegant.
He did most of his traveling around with that. Mrs. Blankenship there worked with him too in the store. She was a dear person, a very delightful woman. I don't remember where they lived in town.
Maybe we can find it in the street list sometime.
Was it over on Cross Street that they might have lived?
I don't know, we could certainly look it up and establish that.
Well, then leaving the Blankenship store and going back to Lord's store, they carried everything for men. It was really a men's store. Well, then next to that, on the corner, was a restaurant always referred to as the Greeks.
Oh, yes.
I don't know who actually owned it, whether they were Greeks or not. But that was sort of a luncheon stop, a latter day, earlier day form of perhaps Burger King or Wendy's.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then jump across Summer Street, and we come down to McDonald's Grocery, Ale McDonald's. And he was a big, husky man, and always rather a breezy appearance and manner. A good salesman, and they were a complete grocery. They had everything in there.
And meats. And
meat, oh yes, and very high quality meats. Well, his son Raymond worked there, and his daughter also worked in the store. And then there were two or three other people. There was a little fellow named Jackie Howarth who ran a delivery truck. And one of the McDonald's on Summer Street, no relation, also worked in the store there. I don't remember when that closed down precisely. Well,
I'm trying to think now if that was...
Raymond stayed as the liquor store for a while.
Oh.
And after they closed the grocery.
Yeah, we did have a liquor store.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah,
yes, I remember.
And, Raymond had the liquor store open the day of repeal.
Oh.
1931.
He was right there.
Yes, he was right and ready. And then after a while, I guess, I think probably Raymond passed away and the store changed. I don't remember what the change was then. Well, almost in back of there was a pool room run by a man named Goulet. And this was a hangout for young people, for young men,
mm-hmm.
for quite a long time.
The girls didn't go in there?
No, and parents certainly didn't approve of this young men being in there. It was a decently run place. There were no problems at all. There were no narcotics. The worst thing they did was smoke.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
And later on, that became the location of the new A&P.
Oh, yes.
They took over that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, then going back uptown again, we'll cross-check a few things here. There was the old town hall, and they parked beside it the steamroller.
Oh.
Town's only steamroller. And there was a Bert Brigham, who was a steam engineer, that was the only man that ever ran this steamroller. And it was quite an impressive sight, see that thing rolling up West Main or down East South Street.
Now, when did they do that? In the spring when they...
Through the year.
Through the year.
And the steamroller had a huge cultivator on the back of it.
Uh-huh.
These huge teeth that dug in to the soil or the paving.
Mm-hmm.
And they dig that up and then they'd roll it back and forth again with the roller and smooth the road
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that required a steam license to run it.
Was this a macadam road or?
Yes, the early macadam roads, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And you had to have a license to?
Oh, well, all steam engineers had to have, you see.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Well,
very specialized.
They parked that side of the town hall, and then the savings bank was on that corner until it moved across
mm-hmm.
the street.
Mm-hmm.
Then Rufus Shaw moved his insurance agency in there, and Swan's Hardware was next to that. And Everett Swan ran that for many, many years. And Ned Heckman went to work for him
mm-hmm.
pretty much as Charlie Duckworth went to work for Lord's at about the same age. And Mr. Swan's, Everett Swan's sister, Mrs. Stetson, worked there for years and years and years. And it was an excellent hardware store. And Ned Heckman, of course, did a good job.
Oh, it was.
Carrying it on, yeah.
Yes, I missed that one very much.
Yeah. And then a little later, next to Swan's was a, Harold Chamberlain had a small store, sort of a small grocery store,
uh-huh.
run all by himself. And earlier than that, it had been the Blackstone Market.
Oh.
There was a man named Harry Furman who ran this Blackstone Market.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold all sorts of groceries, meats and poultry and all. And he moved away sometime there in the late 30s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, we come to the bakery.
Oh, yeah. Wagner's Bakery.
Our beloved Wagner's Bakery.
Yes.
They were there from sometime in the teens until in the 60s when Raymond and Joe finally closed it down.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote about that in one of my
yes,
reports.
I know you did.
It was a wonderful place.
Oh.
It was a wonderful place. And the food they produced, their baked beans on Friday were out of this world.
And their Graham bread.
Yeah.
And that little lemon sponge.
Yes. And they made a little chocolate cake.
Yeah.
About 9 inches square for about 40 cents.
I know. And it was just perfect size, too.
Yeah. Well, then next to the bakery, across the alley, was Forbes and Newcomb's store. And Forbes and Newcomb's was a similar type of house to where the savings bank used to be. It was a house.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a porch on it. You walked up on the porch, and then there was a double door you opened and went in. And I think the thing that struck you first when you went into Forbes and Newcomb's was the smell of peanut butter being ground.
Oh.
And then there were barrels of all sorts of things around. There was molasses in a barrel. you brought in a jug and they drew off a gallon for you in your molasses jug. And you could smell the dried fish, too.
Finn and Hattie.
Yeah, yeah. No, I suspect it was the salt cod.
Just the salt cod.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And Curtis Forbes, one of the partners, is the father of Mrs. Farmer, Esther Farmer.
Oh, yes.
And he lived to much longer. He worked over at the First National quite a while when they, after he closed down his store and they opened the First National. Mr. Newcomb died early. Mr. Newcomb had a habit of every time he wrote out a slip, he touched the pen to his lip, and he developed lip cancer as a result of constant pencil to the lip.
It was lead.
Yeah.
Lead pencil.
Yeah. And then there was another, some items in between there and the corner, and at the moment I don't recall them. Later on, Fred's Hardware was in there, mm-hmm. where the Westboro Newsroom is now. And on the corner was Sam Halpin's Westboro Public Market. Sam was the father of the present-day Alvin Halpin, who runs the Westboro Package Store. Mm-hmm. This was a full market with fish and beef and fowl and poultry all. And he had an entrance on South Street as well as on West Main. Mm-hmm. And then he died or passed away, and Alvin took over, he and his brother, for a while, and then Al completely. Mm-hmm.
Selling spirits? Or?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they were open the first day of repeal.
Also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then around the corner, a little farther, was Boyce's Drugstore, which was a complete drugstore with the soda fountain.
Oh, yes.
And everything delightful there. Beyond that, there was a decrepit little building which belonged to Boyce, I think. And in this, there was always a Chinese laundryman.
I've heard about him.
Yeah. And the boys, some of the boys downtown there, used to run by and yell, "Charlie eats rats."
Oh.
And of course, there was the rumors that Chinese ate anything.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman who ran it probably was too dignified to respond, or perhaps he didn't understand enough English.
Perhaps.
But you went in there with the shirts or whatever, and he never gave you a slip or a ticket. And you went back 3 or 4 days later, and he reached up and handed you whatever he had done for you. He must have lived in the back of this decrepit little shack. There was he was there 7 days a week, and no signs of any other Chinese people around. I don't know why and how it run, but
he's all by himself.
Yeah, all by himself.
Think he had somebody tucked in the back room?
We don't know.
A wife or something?
Yeah, I don't think so because there were never any Chinese children around, and never seeing any Chinese women.
That is unusual.
Yeah. Then across the street, there was, during the lowest part of the Depression, there was another pool room.
Oh.
And this was where Joe Nason's grandfather had a furniture store, Mr. Gates.
Mr. Gates,
had a furniture store there. He went out of business and this pool room moved in. They didn't do much of anything, but they occupied the space anyway. And then there was a little store coming back toward town called the Red and White.
Oh, yes.
And there was a man named Mr. Town, who was no relation to any of our present towns, ran this little store called the Red and White, which was sort of a variety store.
Did it have dairy products or did...
A little of everything.
Yeah.
A little of everything, but it was not a regular grocery.
Oh, all right, just a little quick pickup store.
Yeah. Then the old depot, the old railroad depot, which stood there for a long time, was a low red brick building like all depots with a slate roof.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it was closed down when the railroad moved downtown, farther down East South Street, East Main.
East Main, yeah.
And then Irving Tatro
took
this over as a garage.
Uh-huh.
And Irving was a splendid mechanic, a fine mechanic. And one thing I remember about Irving, he was always wearing a white shirt. And mechanics don't wear white shirts very often.
They certainly don't.
But yeah, he was neat and immaculate. And his family, present family, still live in Westboro. His son, I'm trying to think of his first name, lives here. And his granddaughter married Paul Smith's son. So the Tatro family is still in town.
And she works for the town clerk,
yes.
Kathy.
Yes, all right. Perhaps you can piece that in.
Yes, yeah. Kathy does. Yeah.
And I can remember Irving always seemed to be pretty much in a rush. He's coming up to the farm Thanksgiving morning and wanting a turkey. And we usually had one or two extras on hand,
so
Irving got his turkey that morning. Rushed home and put it in the oven, I suppose. That's about all I have on downtown here at the moment. Do you have any questions?
Well, yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I have one question about the bandstand that was next to the town hall. There was a bandstand. Do you remember the bandstand?
No,
it must have
no.
been taken down earlier then.
They had a portable one that they set up in the square. That picture up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's in there, but I can remember it being set up there. And people coming down for band concerts and parking their automobiles around the square. And the brass band, you have a picture of the brass band here somewhere.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm,
and
I do.
After each number, the people sitting in their cars listening to the band concert would honk their horns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For fun.
And children had a wonderful time running around during the concert. I can remember walking under the bandstand. It's set up 4 or 5 feet above the ground. No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
This was a much larger one that they had down in the square.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, you ever see the shed there where they kept the steamroller down there?
Yes, I see that.
And incidentally, they took this shed and they moved this over to where the American Legion is now. The VFW.
Oh.
This shed is part of the present VFW building.
Oh, that's interesting now. I had no
idea
that had happened. I have a picture here that shows the town hall with, must have been in the 1920s or when they were having some kind of a celebration for the two troops returning from World War
I. This must have been in the very early 20s. All those men look young there.
Yeah, they certainly do.
Yeah.
And then there's a Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer poster, because they used to show the movies in the town hall.
Yes,
correct. And
I remember seeing Ben-Hur in the town
hall.
Did you really? Yeah.
Look at the wonderful bunting
and all.
You know? That. And on the back, it does have some of them identified, Bill. Some of the men and women who are sitting there on the steps and standing on the steps. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. and see, there's another picture.
George Williams, for heaven's sake.
That was one of the men.
Yeah, George was with the cemetery commission after the war finished. He lived up on Blake Street. He had two daughters and a son. Oh, my.
Somebody
did a wonderful job of identifying these men.
Well, you know who helped me with that was Ray Welsh.
Oh?
Yes. Yes, he came in one day and we were talking about it. Some of them I had already...
You could get Ray to fill out on quite a number of these places that I've skipped in town here, too.
Well, and there's another wonderful picture of the town hall, and that's... But you say that bandstand wasn't around when you were...
No, I don't remember it, no.
Well, it says before 1929,
Well, it was quite a while before that, I think.
Yeah, I think so too, because I have other pictures of it that don't show, I mean, old pictures of the town hall that don't, like this one doesn't show.
No.
The bandstand.
Yeah.
But I just thought, and what you said was really wonderful about the children, because that's what we're hoping to do in the 275th anniversary, you know, have parades and have this kind of community and town feeling and all that you're telling me about now. But you know, what I'm impressed with is we had so many grocery and meat stores.
Yes. Yeah. And they all seem to survive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I thought of us as more agricultural, although I know we weren't in the 20s, 30s, but, you know, that...
Well, I think people from Northboro and Hopkinton and Woodville came home to Westboro.
They did.
Shopping, yes. Quite sure they did.
They didn't, because they didn't have... I know Woodville doesn't have much of anything in the way of...
All of these stores Father did business with, we swapped apples and turkeys and chickens and potatoes with these markets, and we in turn took out needed groceries.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's the same kind of thing. We have a ledger here in the local history room which has that kind of bartering back and forth.
Yeah, I know at McDonald's, Father ran an account there for probably 20, 25 years. I don't think he ever settled up, because during the summer and fall, he'd be way ahead.
Oh, because of his produce.
Yeah.
And what you were growing.
And then by the time spring came around, we'd be much in debt to McDonald's. And then gradually it would restore
itself.
He'd
work it up again.
And the bakery took 2 bushels of Baldwins a week, every week, as long as the apple season lasted. And they went into their apple pies.
Sure.
And I don't know, I've always wondered how they peeled them and got them ready. There were no canned apples then.
They used the
fresh apples.
Well, they probably had that little thing that you clip on the table, and then you whirl it around. You put the apple on and it...
I can remember Ezra Miranda that worked at the bakery there. And Ezra had arms on him, tremendous forearms, from kneading the bread.
Oh.
And I suppose they kneaded it all by hand.
Oh, sure. They didn't have a dough hook.
And he was the type of man you wouldn't want him to hit his hands on you.
Well, you know, you said something else that interested me, that so many of these people, like Chamberlain or any of these people, Buxton, they had their children and their wives, and they all worked together in the store.
Oh, yes.
So it was more of a family.
Yeah.
I don't think
Esther Forbes worked with her father, Curtis. Which I'm probably too young.
She went
off to college. Incidentally, she was a very excellent school teacher, by the way.
Was she?
Yeah, she taught. She taught 2 or 3 years, seems to me, and then subbed quite a bit.
Uh-huh. Here in Westboro?
Yes, yeah. That's probably after she married Eddie Farmer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Very, very lovely woman.
Yes. And no boy ever got wise in class, I can tell you.
I'm going to say, in here we have so many...
Shut it down again and get it?
No, it's not for me. So many pictures of some of these stores, and I have the draft, the drawings and the architectural renderings for Forbes and Newcomb. And so that when you speak of these, and of course with the pictures and all,
they're house that they were
yes,
in.
Yes, very familiar to me when you talk about these things. But the anecdotes you have said about these particular stores.
I wanted to speak about Frank Bartlett.
Yes, Bartlett Box.
Bartlett Box, which stood down where Bay State is now. In fact, it was their first building. More or less their first building that they worked in. And Frank Bartlett's father, I believe, was the one who had the land and the large house on West Main Street.
Up where the Aronsons.
Yes.
Yes, and now the high school.
Which the Aronsons took over, yeah, and where the high school is now. And in his day, of course, everything was shipped in wooden boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no cartons, no cardboard boxes as we know today. So everything had to be made.